practice together, and we'll settle in, and then see where our theme might unfold today. But let's just begin by landing here in this moment. Letting yourself take time to attend to your arrival with intention. And that might involve taking care with your posture, sitting with dignity, inviting a lengthening through the spine. And a softening and settling into the support that's present to hold you, to receive you. You might, if you haven't already, letting the gaze soften, or even letting the eyes close, so the stillness of the body and the softening of the gaze is a simplification. We're beginning to choose where to place our attention, this precious resource. Of energy and aliveness. And for this period of practice, we're choosing to let our energy, our attention, be here. And one of the supports to being here is to really connect with the body. So taking this time in the first few minutes of practice to let your awareness sweep slowly through the body. Strengthens the connection with presence. And as you sweep awareness through the body, lovingly attending to any of the places that are pockets of discomfort or contraction, resistance. Often expressed in tension or tightness, taking particular care to soften the muscles of the face and jaw. To release through the shoulders. Relaxing through the belly. Letting the arms and the legs grow heavy, resting. Into the support that's available. And having perhaps begun to land more fully in the felt experience of the body, here and now, it can be particularly supportive to gather your attention to a more circumscribed point of focus in the body. To simplify even more, finding that home base touch point like the soles of the feet or your hands in your lap, or the felt sense of the breath, wherever it's most alive for you. noticing where your attention is right now. One of the gifts of having an anchor is it provides a reference point to notice when the focus of our attention has changed. And that moment of recognition is a moment of choice. We can choose to begin again, to kindly and patiently gather up our awareness and bring it back to the simplicity of breath or a touch point. To reconnect with the intention to be here. coming home to just the next breath. Really experiencing what's it like? What's this moment like? One of the gifts of the simplicity of an anchor is slows things down, and in this simpler landscape, we can sometimes begin to notice details or the nuance of experience. A breath that's deep or shallow. The rise of the inhalation and the change that occurs with the exhalation. We settle and simplify and then sense moment to moment what's here in this unfolding landscape of experience. as we come into the final minutes of our practice today. Noticing how, with this quality of simple presence, this capacity to find and return home to the here and now, how it might serve as a doorway, as a reservoir of energy even, for the heart, how a simple kindness might arise out of a simple presence. Perhaps a kindness for yourself, perhaps a kindness for others, a kindness for what is before you in this moment, right here. We meet life with these two energies of presence and kindness, offering them in the service of the well-being and safety of all. May all beings live lives touched by presence and kindness. May all beings be safe and free from suffering. May it be so. So, welcome. I am reflecting on sort of this arc of exploration we've been on, and we've danced at times over this past year between this dichotomy of practicing internally and externally in all these different ways. And we've just in recent months had this long arc through exploring the heart qualities, kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And it seems like a good time to let sort of the wave move in the other direction to how do we bring the heart to the world. And what arose at the end of our sharing last time was the, you know, the very real challenges of living this human life as an embodied being. And so it feels like turning toward the teachings around how do we meet the very natural processes of aging, illness, and dying seems really timely. And perhaps on a personal scale, you know, what you're facing living inside your own heart, mind, and body, but also thinking about some of the challenges facing the world right now, you know, socially, environmentally, and with the ongoing, you know, threat to well-being. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, not just close to home, in our own community, or even our own nation. You know, I've been really touched. I have some friends and students with who are either in India or in a have a deep connection, and I just sort of really receiving, you know, some messages that feel more personal than what's on the news about what's happening in different places, and this tremendous vulnerability of being human right now. And so what I thought would be a good topic to bridge into this arena is actually a teaching that's pretty central, and is a reference point as we start to look at teachings more specific to aging, illness, and dying. And that's the teaching of on the what's known as the three characteristics. And one of my favorite framings of this teaching is from a teacher, Ruth King. She's a just this really inspirational teacher to me. She wrote this wonderful book called Mindful of Race. She's a black woman, black Dharma teacher in North Carolina. And she describes the three characteristics as not perfect, not permanent, not personal. And these teachings are typically that, you know, suffering is part of life. It's not perfect. There's a tremendous imperfection to this lived experience. Things are not permanent. There, life is a flow, you know, on every scale, moment to moment. This breath is different from the last one. It's different from the next one to, you know, where we were 2 years ago in terms of society and health or energy. And here we are in the middle of a pandemic. So, you know, or where we were 50 years ago in terms of the environment and where we are right now, you know, we can look at this on any scale and things are always changing. And then not personal, you know, we often feel like life is happening to me. There is some sense of a ongoing, permanent entity that's experiencing it all. And this sense of self is also in the middle of that second truth of impermanence. Like, the self is always part of the flow. And so these are not necessarily separate teachings. They really inform each other. And one of the most dramatic places that we see these teachings embodied is in the process of aging, illness, and dying. So I thought today I would just talk for a few minutes about these three core characteristics, because they'll be good reference points for where we'll go next. And you know, one of the things that about this teaching of suffering, you know, sometimes it those of you who have connection to the more direct Buddhist version of this teaching, there's a mindfulness teaching, and there's sort of the lineage of where many of these teachings come from. Sometimes there's a mistranslation, like life is suffering. And that's not what the teaching is. Sometimes it feels like that, but it's actually that suffering is part of life. It's just a truth. It's not a mistake. It's not like I haven't figured this life thing out yet to avoid suffering. It's that that's just part of the pie, and there's no way to slice the pie that you get a get out of jail free card and get to just pass go and collect your 200 and go on vacation and never experience the difficulty. You know, and some of that difficulty is living in a body. Some of the difficulty is the difficulty of living with change, the pain of living with change and impermanence. Some of it is the pain of all of our tangled, you know, mental experiences, our views, our opinions, our perspectives. So there's pathways that bring us into contact with imperfection. And so sometimes having some of these other words is really helpful, because suffering also doesn't always, you know, resonate. There's just this dissatisfaction that we often feel with life. It's not quite what we ordered. You know, I ordered fries with that, or no, I wanted you to hold the cheese or the mustard. You know, it's like, oh, it's like this. And this is like not quite as appetizing as what I was hoping for. So it's sort of this whole spectrum of dissatisfaction, not perfect. So I really do like those two words as a good summary. Not perfect. That's what we get a lot of the time. And not permanent. You know, we often want to hold on to a sense of stability, settledness, reliability, and you know, recent years have been a graduate school level course, and we wake, you know, you can wake up and the next day is so different. It's like, what big tragedy or, you know, new change in what's happening. So it's revealing. One of the other images I really like from a teacher is, you know, we want to lean on a wall, and what we really find is we're leaning on a waterfall. You know, it's like this stream of change that we can't lean into and get any purchase on. And it's not targeted at us. It's not so personal. It's the unfolding of how things are. And one of the sources of the suffering, and we'll look at this specifically around aging, illness, and, you know, the decay and decline of bodies, is we fight it. You know, we resist it. And as we know, those of you who have been in a class with me, or have I'm sure I've brought it up in here before, it's like this is our formula. S equals P times R. Suffering equals pain times resistance. So when we encounter imperfection, you know, that pain of life, and we fight it in some way. We wish it was different. We're afraid of it. We're irritated by it. We're angry. All of that is flavors of resistance. And that magnifies the discomfort. It magnifies, you know, the Pali word for it is dukkha, if you've ever heard it, or if you do hear it, it's D-U-K-K-H-A, so dukkha, and it's, and so we're again in that territory of what's our practice all about? Our practice is about how do we meet the unsatisfactoriness? How do we work with the relationship we have with it? And that is a key reference point we'll also carry into the exploration of aging and illness in particular, because often we don't get to choose that, right? You know, we wake up in a body that this is the cellular nature of the body. Over time, it ages, and it's the nature of ill health. You know, we catch a virus, or we are handed a diagnosis, and it's like, we can't just say, you know, I'd like to send that back to the kitchen, please. You know, it's like, oh, this is what's on our plate. It's what's before us. And how do I digest this? How do I relate with this? So not perfect, not permanent, not personal. And what I might invite in our sharing in the breakout rooms today is, you know, how do you relate to these three characteristics? You know, you might speak about one of them that's particularly of interest to you, or maybe it's particularly challenging for you. And just as a prelude to the content we'll be looking at in the coming weeks, and I'll sort of be weaving these themes into, and I don't know how many weeks we'll take on each. They're big topics, so my guess is it'll be more than 1 week, you know. I'm guessing 1 week on aging isn't going to cover the complexity of that lived experience and our relationship with it. So we're opening into another series that we'll co-create together. So I'll offer you some time in breakout rooms and invite you to enjoy each other's company and play with these three topics. And I'll see you in just a little while. So welcome back. I'll just see if there's anything that wants to be shared or briefly spoken from what you explored. Julie, yeah. Nice, Gabriella. Thank you. Julie. Yeah, beautiful. And this will be part of the rich inquiry that we hold together. As we bring our practice, and a big part of our practice is that compassionate presence. So many of our guided meditations, have a thread of continuity or similarity, and it's because, that gathering, that settling and the simplifying and the steadying of attention, allows us to begin to see how are we relating to what's here, and opens up that space of choice. How do I want to choose to relate or respond, rather than just being caught in a wheel of reactivity? So it's not that, the way of relating that's we're going for is passivity. Like, okay, I'm just gonna wide open accept everything related to aging, illness, and dying, and not attend to self, but how do we do it in a way that it's coming from a place of responsive presence instead of reactivity? So these are big questions, and we'll just begin. We're just beginning to bring them forward, and I'll look forward to seeing, what each of you bring, because we all have lived experience in this terrain. And so, because it's not personal, you will each have things to contribute to this exploration. So I really do hope that it, is an ongoing dialogue in the breakout groups and in our whole group. So, I wish you ease and well-being in your week, and I look forward to this new series on bringing the heart to our life. Yeah, take good care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, take good care.